This is Matt's first time, and I'm going to tell you, I'm really excited about this. I know that he is gifted, and he is called for what he's doing here this morning. We're all going to see that. I know that. And the topic he's talking about today is an incredibly powerful one that his story is going to be interwoven through. So it's going to be an amazing morning. So take it away, Matt.
Thanks, Cody. Thank you. I was just going to let Sam keep going. He was killing it there. And his point about Crossroads, we're actually going to talk about that today. But before I get into what we're going to talk about, some of you may not know me that well. I am the husband to Pastor Ashley. I am so far out of my league, it's just insane. She is an incredible woman of God, incredible mother, incredible wife, and super blessed to have her. She has been so encouraging as I have come up to this moment. And in my ministry walk, and you know, a couple weeks ago she shared that I am vicious about getting rid of sin in my life, but I put up a fight both ways, my flesh and my spirit fight big time, and I want to talk about that today. I was called into ministry a year and a half ago, and I even fought that. I wanted to just kind of take it at my own pace, and God obviously has a different plan. So I've been taking classes this year, and I've been so blessed. I got a new job. I was working at Walgreens for 14 years, and I'm not that old, so that's all I knew. And we were just not getting ahead with finances, and we were just praying for something else, something that was more suited to me. I am not the biggest people person, and I've come a long way. So working in retail was not what I wanted. So I got this new job. Jason and I started the same day. We are drill hands. We work out with the scorpions and the snakes and raining and freezing cold and 110 degrees, and I love it. But also with that job, it has provided the finances to take these classes. They're not super cheap, and the books aren't. I mean, the books are books, and they're not cheap either. So I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm excited to be here. You guys are my church family. I only get to be here every third week, and when I'm working, I'm thinking about you guys, and so bummed that I don't get to be here every Sunday. And Sam already talked about Celebrate Recovery, and it's something that we've talked about for several weeks now, and I have my own personal testimony to Celebrate Recovery. I thought it was just kind of another self-help thing. I didn't know much about it, so I obviously made assumptions. And, you know, like, oh, you have to be addicted to something like Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, to go into this. And I heard some information about it, and I just felt this welling up in me that I needed to be a part of this. God was speaking to me. And so I did it. I just finished. Joe was my sponsor. He helped me through it, and I learned so much about myself, so much about God, and so much about the stuff that I have dealt with over the last 33 years and what my life has involved. And I want to challenge you guys. I specifically say guys because we don't want to deal with our stuff. I went through some recovery stuff and dealt with some stuff before I actually was introduced to Celebrate Recovery. So it came at the perfect time. About 2 months later, I was introduced to it. And it's such an amazing tool to get you through whatever. If you got junk with your parents or family, this is America. We've got so many broken homes that can be dealt with. If you've got any sort of addiction, like I said, alcoholism, pornography, drugs, any addiction to people, if you need people to survive, to feel like you're something, that is something that Celebrate Recovery can deal with. It covers so many aspects. As was said, hurts, habits, and hangups. I see faces in this room that have experienced incredible freedom through Celebrate Recovery, and two of the guys that were in my group through that, and so blessed to do that. There's the info night coming up. Just sign up and come. It's not like you have to pay for some program. It's an incredible tool to lead you closer to God and further away from the things that are going to drag you down. So now I'm going to get into my testimony a little bit. Like I said, I'm not a people person. A lot of people don't know a lot of the stuff that I've dealt with over the years. Like I said, we've got a lot of broken homes, and I'm no exception. When I was a baby, my parents separated, and I don't think it was a terrible thing. My dad wasn't some terrible deadbeat that never showed up. I lived with my mom, grew up with my mom, and we would visit my dad, but I still had that stuff. You know, I was holding on to stuff that my dad didn't love me, and my dad left me. And through prayer with Cody a couple years ago, I really found some healing in that, that it wasn't about me. It's not about me at all. And I found out that actually changed the way that I saw God. I'm sorry, my mom's crying. I'm going to start crying. It changed the way that I saw God, because he was supposed to be a father, but I didn't know what a father looked like. And so I grew up with that, and it took a lot of years to overcome some of that and realize that my heavenly father was not my earthly father, and he is a good father. When I was 11 years old, I was introduced to the wonderful world of pornography, and I bet almost everybody in here has some sort of tie to it. I struggled with it for 22 years. I had a really hard time with dealing with pornography. 15 of those years, I was a Christian. And, you know, I would just beat myself up because I was diving into this stuff that I knew was wrong, and I just kept doing it, and it had such a hold on me. And it was killing me. It was infecting my marriage. I could not get closer to God because I was taking so much time in this junk. And in 20 years of an addiction, that's hard to deal with. That's hard to just cut cold turkey. When I was about 15, I started drinking a little. I was never like just this wild party animal alcoholic, but I dealt with alcohol and it had a grip on me. I have an addictive personality, so it's very easy for me to get into something, and it just like takes all of me and consumes me. And even, you know, video games or hobbies that are good things, I've dealt with this stuff, and it's kind of all piling in this last fall, and I'm just not able to fight the pornography like I have before. The alcohol is just, I can hear it in the fridge, and I'm just like going nuts. And Ashley knows, I know that she knows God, because she always knows when something's wrong with me and something's not right in my spirit. And because, you know, she was like, you need to deal with whatever's going on. I don't know what it is, but figure it out. If you need to meet with Cody, meet with Cody. And at the beginning of our marriage, same thing happened quite a bit, because I was dipping my feet in some really, really hot water. I had a couple young ladies that I was working with that I was essentially having an affair with emotionally, and one almost physically, like full-blown affair. But Ashley knew that whole time, and she would say, I know what's going on. I know you're not right with the Lord. And, a lot of just junk has built up, and I've never been able to really deal with it like I should have. And so I set up a meeting with Cody this last October. I said, Cody, man, I don't even know what I need. I don't know if I need healing prayer. I don't know if I just need to pour my guts out, whatever. Will you just meet with me? And he did, and he encouraged me, and he just kind of probed me a little bit, like, what's going on? And I poured my heart out, and it was not easy. I've wept in front of Cody. He's already seen me cry like a baby, so that wasn't an issue. But I had to finally come to a head with all of my junk, my addictions, the stuff that was hanging on to me so tightly. And I just poured it out. I said, Cody, I'm dealing with this stuff. It's holding on to me. I can't stop. Like, it's technology these days has allowed us to, everything is right at the tip of your fingers, and it's so easy to just fall into these traps. And he encouraged me, he prayed with me, and then he challenged me. He said, well, let's get to the root issue. Who are you in God? Who are you in God? And I know what I'm supposed to say. You know, I think a lot of times we know what we're supposed to say. We know who we are, but we're not living that. And I couldn't tell him that I was a man of God. I can't sit here in front of you, Cody, and tell you that I'm a man of God, because I'm not living that life out. And it got to the point where I broke down before him and before God, and I just dropped it all. I just said, God, I got all this junk. Obviously, I can't deal with it. Obviously, I can't deal with it. I need you to miraculously change my life. 20 years of addiction and strongholds in my life, and many as a Christian, I didn't know how to deal with it. I just gave it to God. This month, I'm 9 months clean of all of it. And I don't have any chips or anything, but I just keep holding on. Every month, I like to text Cody, like, hey, man, 9 months, bro. Like, I'm just, and it's not about me. It's not what I can do. I still want to delve into stuff, but I just have to rest on the truth that I am God's and that I am a man of God. So as we dive into scripture today, we're doing this Set Free series, and it's perfect because I've been wanting to share my story for a long time and the way that God has freed me from that, and I'm so excited that I get to do that with you guys today. So we're going to be in Romans 6 today. If you want to use your Bibles, it's going to be up on the screen as well. We're going to go through a couple verses throughout, and I'm going to kind of touch back on what I've already spoken about. So Romans 6 through 8, which is going to be the next 3 weeks that we talk about, we're going to be talking about kind of law, sin, and grace. When the Jews, at this point, all they knew was the law, and then Jesus comes in, and he basically abolishes the law and gives them a whole new set of standards, that it's about your heart and not about the written law. And Paul breaks it down for them in these three chapters, and it's just a beautiful portrayal that we're going to be working through the next 3 weeks through that. Paul is the apostle that we often speak of as this great missionary. Paul was not always that way. Paul used to be Saul, and Saul actually stood by as Christians were murdered for their faith. And he persecuted the church. He hated Christianity. And then he met with Jesus and had a radical life change and became the Apostle Paul that we know throughout the New Testament, who has done incredible works for the Lord and for so many churches throughout the area. He's writing to the Romans. These are the Jews in Rome. That's why he touches on the law so much. He's telling them, stop looking at the law. You're dead to the law. So what we're going to talk about today, as believers, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we are set free from sin and have new life in Jesus. So I have to ask, or I have to say, how do we take hold of this freedom? Like I already talked about, sometimes we know it, we know the scripture, we know the truth, but what do we do to take hold of that? About 5 years ago, I have my most recent tattoo, and in this cross here, it's the Greek word Eleutheria, and it was from Galatians 5:1, it's the word freedom, and I'm going to touch on that more, but I just felt like, man, freedom in Jesus, that's awesome, and I knew it for the last 5 years, but I didn't live it out. I wasn't taking a hold of my faith like I knew that I should have been. So number one, what you have to do, the first step you have to do, don't pick your sinful nature back up. Knock it off. Sorry. But seriously, I had to come to a point where I just stopped. We're going to read verses 6 and 7 in Romans 6. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. When we take the name of Jesus, when we become a Christian, Christian means little Christ. You're a follower of Christ. You're supposed to be a reflection of Jesus. When we take on his name, we are no longer the person that we once were. And all the ties to that junk are severed. It's done. Jesus did away with that. And the first step there is to actually stop going back. When he severs those ties, it takes our choice to go back and pick those things back up. As I spoke about, I did that for 15 more years. I just kept picking it back up, picking it up. I kept dipping into my past because I didn't know, I didn't live out that life that he wanted me to. I thought that I could one day maybe or maybe not overcome because I was relying on my own strength. I thought maybe Jesus is going to work in me and over time I'll be holy because that's the point in my life that I've gotten to. I had to commit them all to Jesus and let them do the work. Ashley and I's marriage verse, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. 9 months ago, I sat with Cody and I committed it all to the Lord. So I can't do this. I commit my life to you. As I said, I'm still struggling, guys. I still, through CR, Celebrate Recovery, I dealt with some other stuff. I have some food addiction stuff and, like I said, that natural addictive personality. I'm still dealing with stuff, and I'm gonna forever, but I have to realize I'm done with that life. I'm done. Freedom isn't something that we can strive for or maybe attain one day. We have already been given the freedom of Jesus in full measure. He gives us all of himself. He nailed it up on the cross so that we could live in freedom. James 5:16, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. That point in my life was the most important part of my walk with God. That's not the right verse, sorry. I had to confess my sins. I had to get it out there. And that is maybe where some of you are at today. Like, you're just holding on. You're fighting all this junk and it's bearing you, or it's weighing you down. Step two, you have to move into your new life. You cannot just sit over here and expect stuff to happen. You cannot sit and wait for God to do something without you doing something. We have a choice. Every day, every moment, every decision is ours to either follow God or walk away from God. And for so many years, I just was on this teeter-totter of like, oh, I love Jesus, but man, this is fun. Oh, God, I love you so much. You go to a conference and you're just like, I'm high on Jesus, you know, and you just, nothing can go wrong. And then, you know, you're home for 15 minutes and real life. You got to deal with your stuff. So verses 11 through 14, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under the law, but under grace. One thing that sticks out here, count yourselves dead. If you're a Christian, God looks at you that way already. He has the blood of Christ covering you. You have to count yourself dead. It's your decision to tell yourself and to live out the life that you're dead to it. It's not a part of you, and you have a new life in Jesus. We have to understand that the baggage has already been dealt with, and we are now his. We are dead to our old self. We have to move on if we're going to carry on a life with Jesus. For me, it culminated in that one day where I was just going to explode. I had to get it off my chest, and I had to turn away from it. You know, we hear the word repentance. You know, you got to repent from your sins, and I think a lot of times we don't really know what that is. We don't know what that looks like. And, you know, I've heard the youth group version and, you know, they try to break it down. But really, you have to make the decision to knock it off, to turn from that old life, because it's a completely different life. You are introduced into a new life when you have Jesus, and it does not include that stuff that you were once involved with. In Hebrews, it tells us, throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. This is beautiful because, as I said, it takes action. It takes action on our part. If you read Psalm 1:1, the first three lines tells you three kind of keys to being wicked, and they're standing, sitting, and walking. They're just kind of moping around. If you want to be stuck in your old life, take a seat, sit down. It's real easy to get stuck there. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to run the race marked out for you. It is a marathon. It is a sprint at times, and it's not necessarily easy. Not only do we have to throw off the sin that entangles, but I love the part that says, throw off everything that hinders. If something might be in your way, even though it's not a blatant sin, get rid of it. That was my fight with alcohol for years. I don't think drinking a beer is wrong. If you drink a beer, great. You can drink a beer in front of me. Every guy I work with drinks plenty of beer in front of me, and great, I don't care. For me, it's a totally different story. It's something that hinders my walk with God because of my personality. I had to just drop it, and I fought God for years. I dropped it. I was cool for like 2 years, and then I was like, I'm cool, right? Like, I can just start this over. I won't drink a lot, but I'll just, you know, like, occasionally have a drink. And I just knew it, man. God was like, what are you doing? What are you doing, bro? And so then I drop it again. And then right before we moved here, I had an experience, and I had a really fun time. And so then I was like, well, I'm already drinking. May as well keep drinking. And God was like, dude, what are you doing? And then, so I dropped it again, okay? And then, you know, we started the church, everything's going good, and then I'm like, well, I can drink, right? I'm not even kidding you. This is exactly how many times it took me. And finally, it was like, what are you doing, man? Just knock it off and get away from it. It's hindering your walk with Jesus. And I had to walk away from it. Throw it off. Even if it's not a blatant sin, get rid of it. If it's something you know, and you know, the Spirit's talking to you, like, get rid of it. It's not worth your walk with God. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As I already said, the guys that I work with they like to drink. And I don't know how they survive, because we don't have that much time to sleep as it is. And they just party and drink, and I love to hang out with them. I said something the other day. My supervisor, he is just the most, he's blatantly racist, and he hates everybody, and he hates God. But I said to Ashley, I'm like, he's a really cool dude. I like hanging out with him. Just his personality, like, that's why God put me in this job, because it's like, dude, I just love real, raw people. You know, we were talking about another guy who actually comes to the church. He's just real. Like, he doesn't hold anything back, and he's just, yeah, I'm not going to say what he says. But he's raw, and that's what I love. And you know, you guys drink great. I can be around that because I know my personal walk with the Lord has brought me to a place where I don't do that. Number three, and the best part, reap the benefits of holiness. You know, sometimes we strive for holiness, but, you know, when we're still hanging on to this, it's not going to happen. We can't hang on to the past and receive holiness. Romans 6, verses 20 to 23. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. What benefit did you reap from those things that bring you shame? And if you've been involved in anything that brings you shame, you know what I'm talking about. Pornography is shameful. Let me tell you, I lived with deep-rooted shame because I was living this life and I was calling myself a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus, but my closet time when nobody's looking is deep and dark. I had to turn from that, and when I did, I found freedom. Galatians 5:1 is my life verse at this point. Like I said, I have it tattooed right here on my wrist. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He didn't set you free so that you could just do whatever. You know, we have freedom twice in this verse because it's a point. Jesus died for your freedom to live in freedom. You're not tied to any of your stuff. If you have accepted Jesus, knock it off. You are not chained to that anymore. A couple months ago, we dropped chains right here. We let them go. And for me, I'm very visual. And for me, I could just see everybody walking over this pile of chains as it got bigger and bigger because we're not tied to that anymore. We're not bound to that junk anymore as a Christian. We have already died to our sin, so we cannot receive the freedom that God has for us if we continue to pursue it. Claim the gift God has prepared for you and own it. I knew it, and I claimed it. Obviously, I got it tattooed, but I never owned it in my life, and it took a lot of work that night for me to be able to say out loud, I am a man of God. It's not what I do. It's not about me. It's about who Jesus is in me and what he has done in me. Now is the time to rise up and claim the victory you've been given in Jesus. I've already talked about Galatians 5:1. He's offering you freedom today and every day for the rest of your life, and even better, for the rest of eternity. You know, we live in a broken world, and it's really hard. I fear so much for what my kids are going to face at such young ages. You know, we, growing up, we started drinking around 14, 15. By the time I graduated, it was already years younger where kids are drinking. I fear for my friends' kids as they get older, what they're going to face. But we have freedom in Jesus. We're not tied to this world anymore. You know, he has severed all the ties, and we have to live here and deal with it, and we're still going to stumble. But the key is, are you going to get back up? Are you going to take those steps? Are you going to run the race? When I did a half marathon the week before, I basically blew my knee out. I was training like crazy, and I took a step as I was running and just gone. I couldn't hold my weight up anymore. I had a week to go. And so I rested, and I went in, and we were not very far in. And I told my brother, I'm like, this is not good. My knee's toast. But I kept going, and I pushed through. And sometimes it hurts. Sometimes you feel like falling on your face. And sometimes, as many people who run marathons know, people fall on their face. But you got to get back up, and you have to pursue the final goal. Run the race marked out for you. So as we conclude today, I'm going to invite Jonathan and Chris to come up. I just have a couple questions for you. We're gonna take communion in a minute. And communion is not just bread and grape juice. Communion, as I learned very young in my faith, communion is a big deal. You don't just take communion. This is a holy moment. This is God's offering to you. This is his body broken for you, and his blood poured out that covers you and takes away your sin. So when you partake, you don't have to be a member or a regular attender here. You just if you know Jesus as your Lord, you can partake. But don't take it lightly. As we go into this time, we're going to have Ashley and Cody and Craig and Sarah in the back. If you're at the beginning of that stage where I was at, I just need to get it off my chest. I got to move forward. I'm dealing with this stuff. I'm holding on. These guys are here to listen, to pray for you, to encourage you, whatever you need. Take all the time you need if you need, well, I mean, if you need all day, we're here for you, but do what you have to do to start pursuing Jesus in a deeper manner. Maybe you've kind of let go of that stuff, but you don't really know the next step. You just, okay, I'm ready to move forward. I want to take the leap, and I want to start running. Maybe you're there. These guys are here for you to listen and to encourage you. Maybe now is the time where you need to rise up and claim that victory in your life. Maybe it's time for you to own it, that you are a woman of God or you are a man of God, and nothing can take that away because Jesus has given it to you and made you that person. Maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard about Jesus. Maybe it's time. You want freedom. Jesus is the only freedom you're ever going to have because I've tried it everywhere else. Jesus is the true freedom. If you've never had a relationship with God, these guys can help you start that. Again, as we move into this time, just come up the middle, make your way out as you take the elements, but take it seriously. This is the death of Christ that was given for us, his people, so that he could be with us, so that we could have freedom in him.